War is declared on beer saloons and locker clubs. The Atlanta Constitution, Monday, the 10th of November, 1913, page 1, column 3. Committee appointed to take up matter of law enforcement with police chief and grand jury. Liquor bottles shown at meeting on Sunday. Audience told they were purchased from clubs by non-members near beer saloons attacked. War to the knife was declared on the breweries, near beer saloons and locker clubs operating in Atlanta and the state of Georgia, and a committee of 25 representative clients was appointed to take up the matter of law enforcement with the police authorities and the grand jury at the mass meeting held Sunday afternoon in the Grand Theater, which was called by the Georgia Anti-Saloon League for the consideration of measures which will prohibit the sale of intoxicants in the state of Georgia. More than 1,000 prohibition leaders attend the meeting, which was marked by a degree of earnestness of purpose at directness seldom witnessed at any similar gathering. Whiskey shown at meeting. A number of exhibits, in the form of unbroken pints and half pints of whiskey, were shown the meeting, and while the names of the clubs from which the liquor were purchased were withheld, it was declared by Dr. L. M. DuBose, who presided over the meeting, that drastic measures would at once be taken to prevent the further illegal sale of intoxicants in Atlanta. It appears that certain locker clubs and fraternal orders have not made their sales of liquors, and beer in strict accordance with the state prohibition laws, that they have issued membership cards to rank outsiders and have furnished these persons with all the intoxicants they desired. It was further declared that the near beer saloons of Atlanta are operating in open violation of the prohibition law. Various speakers on the program strongly intimated that steps would at once be taken to close these alleged illegal resorts by action of the grand jury, and through an immediate appeal to Police Chief Beavers, to put a stop to the operations of all the saloons and clubs that are not complying with the strict letter of the law. Resolutions were read and adopted, asking the city and state authorities to put an immediate stop to the alleged flagrant violations of the law in the sale of intoxicants, and a number of speeches were made in which the movement for nationwide prohibition was enthusiastically advocated. Enforce law, demands Richards. The principal address of the meeting was delivered by J.B. Richards of the Georgia Anti-Saloon League Executive Committee, who spoke in part as follows, though reluctant to make any public statement at this time. I am impelled by a sense of duty to say a few words which shall be as temperate as I can command. The law that prohibits the sale of intoxicating liquors in Georgia marks the culmination of a great political and economic movement that has been gathering strength and impetus for more than 40 years, and is the exponent of a deep-seated, humane, and patriotic aspiration of our people. The notorious and appalling violations of this declared will of the law-making bodies of the state are daily accompanied by expressions of ridicule and defiance on one hand, and are constantly received with deplorable indifference on the part of those who are charged with the enforcement of the prohibition laws. At the so-called legitimate clubs, these violations are in general confined to sales to members or their guests. They are not any the less violations of the law, and this statement is sustained by judicial decrees. Violate the law. Private barkeepers violate the law in even more flagrant measure, and openly sell liquor to all customers who comply with the flimsy regulations that are designed solely to furnish excuses for the avoidance of official intervention. Every keg of beer that is brewed under corporate charters, and every glass that is sold in a saloon, is equally lawless. And the shame of it is aggravated by the ridiculous pretext that calls the beer by some name unknown to the law. The alleged licenses under which these acts are cloaked afford no authority for the violations. Lawless conditions such as these are intolerable under any decent government, for the reason that they breed contempt for the law, and the inevitable result must be that the lawless elements will dominate the state unless the state rebukes them by enforcing the laws now in effect. The officials now in office apparently are not courageous to the extent that they will carry out the letter of the law, and thus do the people's will. When the voters register their will not only in passing prohibitory laws, but in the choosing of public officials, then and then only will the sale of liquor cease in Georgia. Wants justice to all. I warn you that no remedy for the evils complained of will be effective that does not begin with an end to the near beer saloons and the bogus clubs. So far as I am personally concerned, I do not care to see the mercenary clubs dealt with unless equal justice is meted to one and all. In conclusion, let me say that the prohibition law in Georgia is going to be enforced, and this in spite of the criminal and mercenary element. But the accomplishment of this prediction will come only when the people reach the point where they will be as steadfast and constant for the establishment of their lawful principles as are the lawless in fighting for anarchy, and never again.
accept as the result of civic consecration by the masses, expressed in personal courage and endeavor and exacting devotion to equality for all concerned. Here are resolutions. The resolutions adopted, which include the names of the members of the committee appointed at Sunday's meeting, are as follows. We, citizens of the city of Atlanta, in mass meeting assembled, on this, the 9th day of November 1913, do make and enter continued on page 12. War is declared on beer saloons continued from page 1. Upon the declarations and plans set forth in the following resolutions, viz., whereas we believe that laws meant for the suppression of vice, the prevention of drunkenness, and the dissociation of the state from complicity in the traffic in ardent spirits and other intoxicants are amongst the most necessary and urgent regulations that society can adopt, and that they should, both as to their letter and spirit, bind the conscience of every honest man and loyal citizen, and, whereas we believe that the enforcement of such laws should become the highest ideal of society, and enlist the energy and tireless devotion of every loyal and law-loving citizen, and whereas the state of Georgia has enacted easily understood and stringent laws against the manufacture, sale, and dispensing of intoxicating liquors of all kinds, and whereas it is known that these violations of law are not confined to the so-called criminal element of society, but have been procured, abetted, and countenanced, we regret to say, by some organizations which represent affiliations of many who claim to stand in reputable and responsible relations to the social and commercial life of the community. Now, therefore, resolved first, that it is the sense of this mass meeting that these flagrant and persistent violations of law should be denounced as both criminal and treasonable and worthy of execration by all law-loving people, and that every possible legal step individual violators of these laws, and as well, the responsible or culpable representatives of all organizations or corporations engaged in the sale of intoxicating liquors, or in the illegal dispensing of the same. Resolved second, that this meeting hereby calls upon the police authorities of the city to undertake the most searching inquiry into the charges that many locker clubs and other social organizations are systematically violating the prohibition laws of the state, and that sales of liquor are being made openly on the streets. The attention of the present grand jury of Fulton County is also called to these charges, which are common currency on the streets and elsewhere. In this connection, we cite with endorsement the judicial charge of Honorable Benjamin H. Hill of the Superior Court, namely, that it is not an individual opinion or prejudice that is to
determine the officer of the law or the responsible citizen as to his attitude or action, but the majesty of the law itself. All men charged with authority must exhaust that authority before the bar of their own consciences and in the judgment of all just and upright men. We set it forth not only as our own conviction, but as an axiom, a proven principle of justice, that there cannot be a law for the confessedly criminal elements of society and another for the self-appraised respectable offender. The latter are the more dangerous by far of the two. If the fabric of our social order is in any real danger, it is from men who hold themselves superior to law and claim immunity by reason of this or that social accident. We call for a strict enforcement of law without regard to class, condition, social or commercial accident. Resolved third, that it be ordered by this meeting that a committee of 20 give, or more, to be known as the Law Enforcement Committee of Atlanta, be immediately formed to take in hand the execution of the plans herein outlined, and that, as the continuous and self-perpetuating representative of this mass meeting, the said committee is hereby authorized to employ legal counsel and use all legal and legitimate means to abate and stop the lawless acts herein complained of, both by procuring restraining orders from the courts and by such other legal processes as may appear to be best calculated to accomplish the end sought. Resolved fourth, that the following named citizens be asked, and they are hereby commissioned to serve as members of the committee to be known as the Law Enforcement Committee of Atlanta, viz. Thomas Glenn, R. Kime, Walker Dunson, H. M. DeBose, W. H. Davidson, Lloyd B. Parks, Charles W. Daniel, Hugh K. Walker, E. W. Rose, W. A. Albright, Lee Hagen, W. A. Ward, W. P. Anderson, Charles D. McKinney, R. A. Hemphill, W. S. Loftus, L. T. Stallings, J. W. Autry, George Gordon, J. A. Willingham, J. E. Wilhelm, L. O. Bricker, W. S. Witham, J. H. Andrews, Eb. T. Williams. This committee will hold its first meeting on Tuesday. Page 4, Column 1, The Frank Case. In a short while, the issue of the life or death of Leo Frank will be fought out before the Supreme Court of the state. He will not approach the court as a Jew or a Gentile, a beggar or a millionaire. he will be simply a man in legal peril of his life. The six justices who sit upon the bench are men of unimpeachable character. Their professional equipment is unquestioned. At every angle, they are qualified to administer the law with minds single to justice and closed to all extraneous influences. There are many who are wholly sincere in their belief in Frank's guilt. Many believe with unshakable faith that Frank is the innocent victim of circumstances. These two beliefs are, of course, fixedly incompatible. It is between the two that the Supreme Court must come as final arbiter. A court of last resort can have nothing in common with prejudice, racial or otherwise. Bias of any nature must be an alien to its counsels. It is and must be concerned solely with the righteous administration of justice under the law and the evidence. It will undoubtedly discharge the function of weighing that evidence with scrupulous impartiality. Where the evidence is sufficient to support the verdict should stand. If it regards the evidence as insufficient in this case, the verdict should be set aside, and the accused be given a new trial. And it is before a court with these exalted attributes that the supreme legal fight of the Frank case will be staged. The Supreme Court of Georgia will come as near finding the justice of this mysterious case as can be expected of any tribunal ruled by human beings. It is fully competent to pass upon the many troublous issues here involved. If the court writes its endorsement to the death warrant, it will be because it believes the guilt of the defendant has been legally proven. It will not permit him to go to the gallows unless it is satisfied his guilt has been established beyond a reasonable doubt. The first guarantee of the Constitution is that a man shall have a fair trial for his life. The Supreme Court must say whether or not Frank has had such a trial. If he has, the verdict stands. If he has not, and if the verdict is not justified by the evidence, he is entitled to, and he will receive a new trial. The proponents and the opponents of Frank may be assured the court will act with ultimate conscientiousness, in full knowledge that whatever verdict it reaches will be cited in Georgia for many generations. It could not do otherwise. All that is asked by anybody, everybody, is that absolute justice be done. If Frank is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, and it is so proven to the satisfaction of the court, he should pay the penalty of crime. If not, he should have a new trial. The Supreme Court must say,